Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I'm yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt. Nikki, we're back.
We're back.
It's good to be back.
It is great to be back.
Yeah, and if you're just tuning in for the first time.
What took you so long?
I mean,
Seriously.
Do we have to say this every week?
Apparently we do.
They should always be tuned in to 98.5 WUPS.
Yes, they should.
And check us out on iTunes.
Yes.
And I cannot say this enough. Please tip the wait staff after the show. I've always wanted to say that.
Okay.
Listen, we have, as promised,
yes.
We're not going to talk back and forth. We have a huge show.
Yes, we do.
Folks, we have this is going to be the biggest show we've ever done. We are going to, in just a minute or two, bring on attorney Barton Morris Jr. out of Royal Oak, Michigan. He goes all over the state of Michigan. And I believe Bart, we'll ask Bart, I believe he also does federal cases, so that takes him outside of the state of Michigan as well. But Bart Morris Jr., the founder of Cannabis Legal Group, you've heard us talk about the group and mentioned Bart in the past.
Yes.
We're going to bring Bart on in just a moment.
Yes, that's going to be great.
I want, you know, it's June.
Yes, it is.
Motorcycles are everywhere.
Yes, they are.
Please be careful. Keep an eye out for all our family members, our friends, and just anyone on a bike.
Yes. I've heard of too many accidents recently on bikes.
Please keep the bikers safe. I always stay 2 truck lengths away from bikers, and I try to protect the bikers in front of me from any idiots behind me
yes.
trying to come up on them.
Of course.
So I just want to say that for the record. But, hey, we are a law show, and let's just bring Bart on the show. Bart, welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Hi, Todd. Hi, Nikki. How you guys doing?
Doing good. How are you?
Little background. Bart is one of my closest, dearest friends, and we used to be law partners. So Bart used to...
Yes.
I met Bart when you worked for Judge Breck in Oakland County Circuit Court, and we became very close friends. And we've been close friends all these years, Bart, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming on the show.
How fun is this? So it's like when we were talking about one of my favorite topics, and I'm doing it with one of my oldest friends and colleagues and professional even mentors. So this is really cool.
I really appreciate that, Bart. And, you know, we've been promoting this all week. You are, in my opinion, one of the leading, if not the leading attorneys in the state and outside the state in regards to anything and everything that has to do with the business of legal marijuana and medical marijuana and what's going on in the state of Michigan. Talk a little bit about, first off, what type of law do you practice? Let's get a little bit of background on you.
Okay, so I traditionally am a criminal defense lawyer, and with the Medical Marijuana Act being established in 2008, a lot of people began growing marijuana and consuming marijuana on a medical basis. But that also created a significant increase in marijuana-related criminal activity, people growing more than what they're supposed to, and people smoking marijuana recreationally when they're supposed to be doing it medically. And so I began a practice to specialize simply in that because there's a lot of people that needed assistance with marijuana-related cases. And that started in 2008, 2009, really. And since then, I've been significantly growing my practice to not only include criminal defense, but also, especially recently, to also include counseling and business services. The counseling I'm referring to is counseling patients and caregivers with respect to the manner in which and the legality in which that they maintain their grows, and also business-related interests, because the more Michigan moves toward what we believe to be a highly regulated marijuana cannabis industry, the more people are interested in creating businesses surrounded and being in the cannabis industry. And so that has taken up a lot of our practice. That's why we created the Cannabis Legal Group, and we're certainly doing what we can to specialize and assist all the people out there that are interested in the several different types and different ways that people can get in the cannabis market.
Outstanding. One of the questions that we received for the show, a listener wanted to ask you, is, are edibles legal? People are confused out there. They're going to dispensaries where there are dispensaries, and I want to talk to you about dispensaries in a moment, but this question from this listener from Reed City is, are edibles legal?
Well, with the fact that these dispensaries that are selling marijuana and they're selling edibles, it's a completely legitimate concern that people have with respect to the legality of what they're purchasing. Because it's a crazy world out there. These dispensaries are really operating unlawfully against state law, but the municipalities in which they operate are permitting them to do so. And so somebody might think that everything that they sell within, simply because the city or municipality is allowing them to do it, that they're selling it legally. But in reality, the state of the law right now is that edibles, which are generally made up of THC extracts, they're not lawful at all. Marijuana in general is not lawful. There is simply the Medical Marijuana Act provides a defense to marijuana prosecutions and confiscations and arrests. So marijuana is illegal. Edibles are illegal. It's all illegal. They're all controlled substances right now until the law changes. But the Medical Marijuana Act provides a specific defense to people who are cardholders or otherwise are able to demonstrate that they have a significant medical necessity and have had physician certification and have a bona fide relationship with a physician. And the Medical Marijuana Act, in most cases, does not protect somebody from having a THC concentrate or extract product like edibles. But in some cases, it does. So it's a little bit confusing. But in general, the answer to the question is edibles are not legal.
Yeah, that's been a big question. And in your practice, especially with Cannabis Legal Group, has that come up often, that issue?
It comes up constantly.
Yeah. One of the other issues that I face as an attorney, a criminal defense attorney that I want to talk to you about, and I'm honored to be associated with Bart and also to be an associate and work together with Cannabis Legal Group, because you have an outstanding group of attorneys within the group itself, and it's just an honor to be part of that group, to be able to use your resources and refer people to the group. As far as if you have, if you're just tuning in, we're talking to, this is the Todd L. Levitt Law Show with Nikki Morissette. We're speaking to attorney Barton Morris Jr. With a Cannabis Legal Group out of Royal Oak, Michigan. But Bart, you are statewide and you do federal work. So you do go outside the state of Michigan. Is that correct?
Yes, I practice outside of the state of Michigan, specifically with my federal law practice.
And if you miss any part of the show, we are podcasting the show on iTunes, Podbean, and SoundCloud. So later this afternoon, you can hear this show. I highly recommend you let all your friends know about this show, because this is some major information. It's 248, area code, 541-2600. That's 248-541-2600. Bart, I want to get back to CannabisLegalGroup.com. We're talking with, again, attorney Bart Morris, who is the founder of CannabisLegalGroup.com. Bart, let's talk more about what the group does. In reference to working with individuals and municipalities, what can you tell us about that?
Sure. So different individuals have different goals with respect to establishing a cannabis-related business. So, for instance, caregivers, they want to ensure that their operation is within the law. And in addition to that, they want to be able to do so in a manner that's regulatory compliant and with the blessing of the particular municipality in which that they're growing. So, for instance, let's say a caregiver has 5 patients, and they have the ability to grow up to 72 plants. And they want to do so in a city, maybe in their industrial zone, with the city's blessing, pursuant to state law. First, we will advise the client how to set up their grow in order to ensure that they're going to do it without without breaking the law, without breaking state law, and doing it within the protections of the Medical Marijuana Act. Next, we will also communicate with the city and obtain special land use permits in order for the city to be able to say, yes, we allow you and want you to grow and permit you to use this land in order to do this agricultural cultivation project. And the city generally will require a site plan inspection with architectural drawings, and they're going to want inspections of the plumbing, electrical, heating and cooling, and those types of approvals so the city can approve the operation. And then oftentimes, depending on the city, they will also issue a license, a certificate of occupancy or a license in order to be able to operate the that particular business.
So
go ahead.
I just want to clarify, if someone's just tuning in, we're not referring to opening up dispensaries, are we? We're referring to a caregiver who wants to provide, I refer to it as medicine, for his or her patients and have the grow operation in a place other than where they reside, correct?
Right.
Okay. So, and there's a big misconception out there, Bart, that you have to have your grow operation where you have a lease or you own a home. That's not true. And based on what you're telling the listeners right now, what Cannabis Legal Group can do for you is work within the municipalities to assist an individual in setting up an operation to assist their patients that is outside where they reside.
Yes, correct.
Okay. Wanted to clarify that. Hey,
a lot of people, I mean, who wants to grow 72 plants in their basement? You know what I mean? That's not necessarily the best place to have that type of grow. That's a lot of plants. There's a lot of space that is necessary in order to do that. It's simply just not an optimal place. It's not the right place for someone. I mean, in a lot of cases, it depends on your home, you know. So some caregivers live in a place where it's not an optimal place. And so we can find them a place where the city will be, will allow and permit that type of use. And it's always good to have the city's blessing to do as a type of operation. Because in addition to getting the city on board, we can then put in place some regulatory compliance issues and like an operations manual. Because eventually what a lot of caregivers are interested in is a commercial cultivation license.
Okay, hold on right there, Bart. We're going to go to break. That's a great tease. If you're just tuning in, we're talking with one of my closest friends, former law partner, attorney Barton Morris Jr. out of Royal Oak, Michigan, the founder of Cannabis Legal Group. Look it up online, cannabislegalgroup.com. You can reach Mr. Morris at 248-541-2600, 248-541-2600. And, Nikki, if they're just tuning in, they can listen to the show over and over on podcasts on iTunes, Podbean, or SoundCloud. And it's going to be up there after the show.
Yes.
So when we come back from break, Bart, I want to talk to you about the cultivation issue and how individuals can get ready and prepare themselves to be in a position to do so. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Hey, if you're just tuning in for the first time,
what took you so long?
And more people, I find out, on the way to church, tune in to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show than anyone else on their way to church. They listen to this show more than any other radio show.
There we go. That's right.
I'm proud of that.
So am I.
So if you're just coming from church, going to church, find us on iTunes on podcast.
There you go.
Hey, we're speaking to attorney Barton Morris Jr. about cannabislegalgroup.com. Bart, before break, we were talking about, you just started talking about that these individuals who are caregivers, most of them, their main interest is, once the law passes, to become cultivators. Is that true?
So, first of all, we have to talk about the fact that there are, we're talking about commercial cultivation,
correct,
right?
Correct.
And right now, there is no commercial cultivation. The state of Michigan has not authorized, nor has the Michigan legislature authorized or passed any laws to create any type of commercial cultivation or dispensary of medical marijuana or recreational marijuana. But I believe, and a lot of other people believe, that that is what's going to happen in the future, because that's just the next logical step. There's already legislation that's pending with the Senate, the Michigan Senate, that's already passed the House in order to do just that. And that's the next step. That's what is necessary in order to regulate all of these dispensaries that are in operation right now, and to regulate all of the cannabis that's being grown and provided to these dispensaries, really unlawfully. The state doesn't want to allow that to continue to happen, nor does law enforcement or prosecutors or even cannabis activists. They want to have a system that's going to be, it's going to create a safe access and safe products for cannabis users. And so what that means is that I think that it's going to happen where there's going to be a regulated market, and the state's going to have to regulate that. And in order to do that, they're going to put in place a lot of laws, just like they do in Colorado, Oregon, Washington. And we look at those regulations in those states, and we know what it's going to require. And so we are simply just forecasting that here. And what we're doing with our clients, like for instance, our cultivation clients, is that we're putting them on regulatory compliance programs, so that when the state does pass these laws allowing for cultivators, commercial cultivation licenses, our clients are going to be able to go to the state with their application and say, look, we know how to operate within a highly regulated environment, because the cannabis industry is the most regulated, regulatory compliant regulation environment that we could possibly imagine that ever existed, I think, in our country.
Here, a question, quick question. In Colorado, yeah. How is it being regulated? Because what the concern is, and I hear it as a defense attorney all the time, as well as you do with Cannabis Legal Group, is that you have men and women, for instance, living in Mount Pleasant, Houghton Lake, who are caregivers, and their concern is that big interest and big money is going to come into the state of Michigan, as it's been trying to do, from what I understand, and control the grow. And how can these people be assured in the local communities that they have an opportunity to get in on this business aspect of growing when it's legal, as you're talking about? How can people be protected in the small communities?
They should be concerned with that, because big interests and big corporations, they have a lot of money, and they have a lot of influence, and they have a lot of lobbying power. And so they are the ones that they're able to get through our legislatures and create laws that are going to be helpful to them. So it's important for smaller businesses and individuals and caregivers to be active and to support grassroots organizations like MI Legalized, who's trying to get recreational marijuana on the ballot, which I'm sure we'll talk about soon, and to talk to there and be in communication with other groups and organizations that have strong influences with our legislatures, to show our legislatures that we don't want big interests and big corporations coming into Michigan and taking over the cannabis industry.
How's it regulated in other states that where it's legal right now?
So in Colorado and Oregon, the state has a regulatory system, and a majority of it is governed by what we call seed-to-sale tracking. They have software that tracks all of the cannabis that is grown from the moment that it becomes a plant in a commercial cultivation area, and to the extent that it's harvested, and then transferred to or created other products are created, like marijuana infused products, marijuana manufactured products like edibles and candies and extracts and drinks and toothpaste and a zillion different products, and then that regulation is carried forth through the seller to the market, so the dispensaries and the other businesses that are selling the product.
But the question is,
from every point. So the
Let me ask you this.
The state has software that keeps track of it all.
So let's take, for instance, Royal Oak, where your office is, Royal Oak, Michigan. We're talking to attorney Barton Morris Jr. from Cannabis Legal Group. Check out the website, cannabislegalgroup.com, or 248-541-2600. And if you missed any of the show, you're just tuning in, check us out on iTunes. It's a podcast for free. We're also on SoundCloud and Podbean. I'm sure there's some people, Bart, that are just tuning in that want to hear what we spoke of earlier in the show. My question is, so let's take Royal Oak, for instance, any town in Michigan. The law is passed, and are you saying that with Colorado and Oregon that you could have 20, 30, 40 individuals in each community who are growing? I mean, are they limited in what they grow, or can any group of people or number of people grow in that community? It's got to be regulated, right?
Is it Colorado?
Yeah. I mean, can 40 different homeowners decide, hey, I want to get in on a grow and start growing as much as they want?
In Colorado, they have a licensee structure where you have to apply to the state to get a license in order to grow. And the city in which you wish to grow can limit the number of licenses that they will allow.
There you go. So that's what I was looking for.
You're not going to be able to just, then it's not going to be 100 people growing, you know, and in Boulder or in a small city.
That's where the political BS comes in, though, because the men and women who are on the, you know, commissions or the city councils or who run those communities are going to have all the power, and they're going to let their friends, be involved in a grow, or the people that contributed to their campaigns. My concern, as it is your concern, is for the men and women, the people out there who don't have access to politicians, who are just everyday hardworking men and women, and who have a right and should be able to get in on a grow. And that's where Cannabis Legal Group comes in, folks. Barton Morris Jr., attorney Bart Morris, one of my closest friends, is the founder of CannabisLegalGroup.com. And again, we deviate, but tell us a little bit again about CannabisLegalGroup.com.
We represent people. We represent people who are oppressed by criminal laws, oppressive marijuana, criminal offenses. We represent people, establish compliant and lawful caregiving grows. And we represent people, even establish dispensaries. We represent people with respect to cannabis issues, regardless of whether they're criminal-related or business-related.
Absolutely. And I'm honored to be associated with your association and have those resources. And I refer a lot of callers out there do call my office at 989-772-6000. And I've referred them directly to you, Bart, at Cannabis Legal Group, cannabislegalgroup.com. And in fact, folks, in September, approximately, tentatively, Cannabis Legal Group, founded by Bart, is planning at a location yet to be announced, a big conference. Correct, Bart?
Yeah, and let me say that we're definitely pleased at having you on board at the Cannabis Legal Group, because you, Todd Levitt, are a great name in the community in Mid Michigan, and you're simply a bright guy that we like having on our team, because there's people all over the state that need our help, and people can go to Todd Levitt that will. And Todd will get them the information and the services that they need. So we're going to have a seminar, conference, and expo in September in Mount Pleasant in order to continue to address the educational needs for caregivers and people that are interested in the cannabis industry, and also have an expo with exhibitors to exhibit all of the various products that are related to the cannabis business and to people that are interested in cultivation and dispensary. We're going to provide an educational seminar on caregiving compliance and what caregivers can do, not only to be compliant with state law now, but what they can do to qualify for commercial cultivation license should they become available in the future. We're also going to provide another seminar that relates to dispensaries and dispensing marijuana and being a provisioning center and also doing what's necessary in order to qualify and become and to have a successful application for a license as a commercial dispensary when they become available. They're not now.
Absolutely.
But we believe that they will be in the future.
And I'm honored and proud to be associated with the group, and I am honored to be co-organizing you with, you know, your firm and Cannabis Legal Group, that big event here coming hopefully September of this year. And the listeners, stay tuned to 98.5 WUPS and especially the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. We expect Mr. Morris to come back on a regular basis. We still have two segments left, so don't go anywhere, Bart, or our listeners. We have two awesome segments left with Mr. Morris, and we got a lot to talk about. But if someone wants to get a hold of you, Bart, or your law firm and or the attorneys working for Cannabis Legal Group, how can they do that?
The best way is to go to the website, which is cannabislegalgroup.com, or you can call our office at 248-541-2600, or you can contact Todd L. Levitt, the law office of Todd L. Levitt.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'll put you directly in touch with my close and former partner and dear friend, Bart Morris. Hey, Bart, we have to go to a quick break, and when we come back, I want to talk about Am I Legalized, signatures, petitions, and ballots, and who in Lansing is working for the people, and what can they expect come November. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Hey, if you're just tuning in, what took you so long?
Yeah, what took you so long?
We have had a huge show.
Yes, we have.
We are talking to my dear friend, attorney Barton Morris Jr., my former law partner, who is now based out of Royal Oak, Michigan, has been, practices across the state, UP, and out of state, handles a lot of federal cases as well. Bart is the founder of CannabisLegalGroup.com. Folks, I cannot stress enough, if you or someone you know is interested in the legalization of marijuana and the business that's related to the legalization of marijuana, then you have to check out Cannabis Legal Group, and you have to listen to this show over. We'll be on iTunes later today. It's free. If you don't have iTunes, you can go to podbean.com or SoundCloud. Okay. Is anything else you want to add to that, Nikki?
Nope. That's it. Just download the app.
And if you want to get a hold of Mr. Morris, you can contact his office at 248-541-2600, 248-541-2600, and look him up at cannabislegalgroup.com. Bart, briefly before we talk about what we tease the audience before break, can you talk about some of the other attorneys who work with you and Cannabis Legal Group and their expertise and experience?
We have an attorney from originally from St. Louis, but that she's just now coming from Colorado. She's got experience in obtaining cannabis business licenses from, let's see, Colorado, Oregon, Illinois, and New York. So she's significantly experienced in getting licenses for people to establish their cultivation centers or their dispensaries. She just started working with us about a month ago. She moved here to full-time. She's an expert in regulatory compliance, an expert in cannabis law. And we're really happy to have her. Her name is Paula Gibbons. She's been a lawyer for, I think, about 20 years, specializing in cannabis law. We also have Matthew Roman, who has got an MBA. It specializes in business formation and business entities, court contracts, setting up investment opportunities. He's also an expert in cannabis business law. And then we have myself, who is also becoming an expert. I'm an expert in criminal defense with respect to marijuana-related offenses, but I'm also now developing an expertise in zoning and land use and issues as it relates to municipal circumstances.
I also want to mention you are one of the top trial attorneys in the state of Michigan. I mean, you know, there's attorneys who go to trial and have limited experience with trials. And I can just go on the record and tell you that my good friend, Mr. Morris, who you're listening to, is a major, major league hitter when it comes to trials. Bart, you are a trial attorney in every definition of the word. As if you see on TV and the movies, that's my friend, attorney Barton Morris Jr. right there. I mean, you are a great, great. I've seen you in trial. I've watched you voir dire a jury. I've seen you cross-examine. I've listened to you articulate the rules of evidence and just, you know, destroy the opposition. So if you're looking for a great trial attorney, honestly, folks, don't call me. Call my friend Bart, 248-541-2600, 248-541-2600, because I love you and I can't say enough about you, Bart. Also the founder of CannabisLegalGroup.com. Be sure to check that out. Bart, the question everybody always brings to my attention is, when is everything going to change? When are the people going to stop being pulled over, you know, their medicine confiscated, you know, they're concerned about the overages. You know, everybody has overages. What do they do with them? And we'll talk about that in a moment. But when are things going to change? Is it going to change this year?
Well, I wish I could tell you. All I can say is this, is that there's a significant grassroots movement that is going on right now. And it is significantly active with, like, news going on every single day about its success. And that's Am I Legalized? And Am I Legalized is comprised of a committee of really, really smart, bright marijuana cannabis activists that are trying to get some reasonable and really positive legislation in place to be voted on in November presidential election to allow to legalize recreational use, sale, possession, cultivation of cannabis in the state of Michigan. And if that happens, if we get that on the ballot with what is really like a strong ballot initiative, if we get that on the ballot, and there's already been there's recent polls that say over 53% of voters in the state of Michigan support recreational use of marijuana. So if that gets on the ballot, then we're looking at to be effective in March of 2017.
Wow. Have the men and women in Lansing, are they currently working out details, different bills are being introduced, regulations, you know, as we spoke earlier on the show, who's going to control the grow, what's going to happen with edibles and, you know, hemp. I mean, as all that I would think is being worked out right now in committees.
So I'll tell you what's going on, which is like actually fascinating to me, which is this, you know, Michigan, Am I Legalized? This is a ballot initiative, right? So it is basically the exercise of the people's right to establish and create our own laws. So we don't have to rely upon the legislature to create laws. The people have the right to be able to, if we get enough signatures, and we can put it on the ballot, and then our voters can decide the laws that we put into place in Michigan. This is how we got the Medical Marijuana Act. It was a ballot initiative. It wasn't the senators or the representatives creating legislation and then passing it. It was the people of the state of Michigan putting it on the ballot. And that's what's going on with recreational marijuana and Am I Legalized. And so they've been collecting signatures since July of 2015. And they have to collect about 253,000 valid signatures. And the law, as it was until just a couple of days ago, the law said that you had 180 days within which to collect those signatures, and any signatures outside of that 180-day window can be challenged, meaning that there's still a manner in which that those signatures can be accepted, but they just have to go through an extra step of validating those signatures to ensure that those voters are, in fact, registered voters and that they are, in fact, residents of the state of Michigan. So what has happened is that the Michigan legislature, with Senate Bill 776 that was passed less than 30 days ago, they have changed the law just specifically to try to get rid of our ballot proposal. They changed the law and said that presumption that they're valid within 180 days that can be rebutted. They changed the law to say that they can no longer be rebutted. In fact, the only signatures that are valid are within that 180-day time period.
See, what I'd like
so
to
that s- means
go ahead.
That means that only signatures that were collected from January 1st until June 1st, there was 350-some thousand signatures that were turned in June 1st, a week ago. And the legislature passed a law that says none of those signatures count that were taken before, that were received before January 1st. And the governor just signed that bill into law, I think, yesterday.
So now the signatures that MI Legalized went around collecting, they don't have enough signatures, basically, to get it on the ballot.
Well, right now.
Are they suing the state? They should sue the state.
That just opened up some legislation. Right. That just opened up the ability for MI Legalized to sue. And so this is going to be litigated in court. And that's exactly what is. I mean, everybody, I think, knew. I knew that this was going to happen.
Well, Bart,
actually, it's cool that it's happened so quickly, because today's, just a week after they turned in those signatures. And so now we can initiate that litigation immediately.
But I think, whichever man, woman, state senator, House of Reps, whoever's involved in this, whoever sponsored it, co-signed it, jumped aboard this, the people need to know who is getting in the way of the people's rights. And I never gave my elected official permission to put their name on that, piece of legislation. Is that what you referred to it as?
Yeah, it's legislation.
I mean, did you? I didn't. I mean, that's not what I
didn't.
I guarantee you, if you took a poll of all our listeners, neither did any of them. And so, folks out there, you need to call your congressman or woman and ask them about what Bart just spoke of. The fact that the governor just signed some legislation that now it says that you have to gather a certain amount of signatures within a certain amount of time after hundreds, if not thousands, of men and women throughout the state took the time out of their day to exercise their constitutional rights and to act as citizens to have something on the ballot that they want. And now these men and women just put a complete doorstop in its way. Bart, that is so wrong. I just learned about this a couple days ago, and I'm furious about it. And folks, if you're just tuning in for the first time, we're talking with attorney Barton Morris Jr. He's the founder of CannabisLegalGroup.com, CannabisLegalGroup.com, 248-541-2600. We plan on having Bart on the show on a regular basis, so you'll hear throughout the summer and fall from Mr. Morris, one of the most outstanding trial attorneys and definitely one of the leading experts, if not the expert, on everything that has to do with legal marijuana and medical marijuana and all the issues involved with that. So, Bart, that just pees me off right there. I mean, aren't you upset about that?
Yeah, I'm incredibly upset about it. I'm looking at, well, first of all, it was David Robertson that was the sponsor of that bill. And
from where?
On the 18th of this year, on the House, 293 representatives voted for it. 57 said no.
But here's a question. When something like this is voted for, often there's other reasons and there's other initiatives that the people are trying to put forth that also get destroyed with this type of action.
Wait, I made a mistake. 57 yeses, 52 noes in the House. That's what it was.
I think we need a list, and I think MI Legalized needs to, and so do we, post every single elected official who just got in the way and the will of the people of the state of Michigan. And look, we want peaceful demonstrations here. This is not a call to action. We want you to call your elected official and just tell them peacefully how disappointed you are, if you are disappointed. That's all we're asking you to do. You have a right to do that.
Yeah, the legislature completely got in the way. They saw a situation where the people were about to vote in the ability to do something that they wanted, and the legislature said, "No, we want to interfere with that." And they literally changed the law in order to do it.
Well, were these voted along party lines as usual?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I mean, how many Republicans, how many Democrats, how many independents? Hey, we have to go to break here in just a second. And when we come back, we have one more segment to go, Nikki, and we are going to come back strong.
Yes, we are.
So be sure to tip your waiters and wait staff during this break and listen to the sponsors of the show and UPS. And we'll continue talking to one of my best friends, attorney Barton Morris Jr. out of Royal Oak, Michigan, the founder of Cannabis CannabisLegalGroup.com, CannabisLegalGroup.com. And if you miss any portion of the show, be sure to check us out on iTunes this afternoon. It's free if you have iTunes. Podbean.com. You can also listen to the podcast or SoundCloud podcast. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Finishing strong, Nikki. Finishing strong.
Yes, we are.
What a huge show.
It's a huge show.
Okay, so during break, we were talking with attorney Barton Morris from Cannabis Legal Group, and I had some questions regarding whether or not the signatures were valid and would the issue of legalization of marijuana be on the ballot in November, although the governor just signed that piece of legislation. And can you explain to listeners what you told Nikki and I, Bart?
First of all, anybody listening and wants to support Am I Legalized should go to the website and donate some money because right now is when we need it the most.
Great idea.
Compiling the legal team and that's going to expend a lot of time necessary to litigate what's going on right now. And this is the only time that we have the ability to do this. I mean, right now, Am I Legalized? If it's not successful now, I don't know if it's ever going to be. I mean, we only have presidential elections every 4 years, so this is really the opportunity that we have right now to make this happen. If we don't follow through, then we may not have another opportunity like this again. So there's a couple different things that are going on. But first, Senate Bill 776, which kept a lot of these signatures from being valid or allowing for the presumption to be rebutted that they're valid. It was signed into law by the governor on June 6th, about a week ago. But Am I Legalized turned in their ballot signatures on June 1st. And so that's completely unfair. And if that and 776, the law, like not allowing the rebuttable presumption of these signatures, should not apply to Am I Legalized.
Agreed.
Am I Legalized has been working on this for over a year, for like a year and a half.
It's against the will of the people.
Collecting signatures for, right, yeah, you know, and so how the legislature can come and then enact a law that says, you know what, all that work that you've been doing for like the past year, we're going to invalidate half of it. That's not fair at all. And so that needs to be litigated. And the lawyers at MI Legalized, the legal team that's being put together, hopefully I'm on it, that we're gonna file an action and stop that immediately so that we can get it on the ballot, because that ballot's coming up soon, the presidential election in November, and MI Legalized proposal's got to be on it.
Agreed, 100%. And, you know, I can speak for a number of the listeners to this show. You know, they tend to agree with that as well. So, wow.
MILegalized.com.
MILegalized.com. Hey, if you're just tuning in and you miss any portion of the show, Nikki, what can they do?
They can download it from iTunes, Podbean, or SoundCloud.
Yeah, and we're podcasting, and this show by far will be one of the most downloaded free podcasts. And attorney
definitely.
Barton Morris out of Royal Oak, Michigan, will appear again on the show. And in September, Cannabis Legal Group, which Bart is the founder, is planning a seminar here in Mount Pleasant, Michigan, which I am a part of. Co-organizing that, which is an honor. And we'll have more information throughout the summer where people can sign up, purchase tickets, and be a big part of that. But let's talk a little bit, Bart, with the remaining time about CannabisLegalGroup.com. That's just a brilliant, brilliant concept. And again, what does CannabisLegalGroup.com or the group itself do for the listeners? And how can they get a hold of you? And tell us about that.
Well, our team of lawyers, we help people get into the cannabis marketplace because the cannabis market is growing at a significant pace, and we help people get involved in the cannabis marketplace that want to look for a legitimate opportunity to get into the hugely growing market in Michigan. We know that eventually the Michigan legislature or MI Legalized or something's going to happen where people are going to be able to get involved in a safe marketplace for cannabis. And I think that that's incredibly important. People are using marijuana, even medical marijuana, that is not necessarily safe. It's not being tested. It's not being regulated. The growing is not being regulated. The sales is not being regulated. People don't even really know what they're getting. And it's important that change. And I know that the legislature wants to change that. And even the police, prosecutors, everybody wants that. It's just a matter of getting on the same page and making it happen in a manner that everybody, that is fair. That's fair to everybody. And so we support that as well. And we know that eventually something's going to happen where it's going to allow our clients to participate in the market, because it's a $5 billion market right now in this country. And by 2020, it's going to be a $20 billion market. And it's got to be, and Michigan is going to be right in the center of it. Michigan, besides California, out of all the medical marijuana and regulatory, all of the recreational marijuana states, besides New York and California, I think Michigan has the third largest population. And so we're at the forefront right now. Michigan is going to be the next great state when it comes to the cannabis market. And so it's important for us
amazing.
To help our clients do that.
And if you're listening to the show, you're listening to attorney Barton Morris Jr., founder of Cannabis Legal Group, based out of Royal Oak, Michigan, statewide. And Bart is also practices federal law outside the state. If you have a question or a business idea or need representation, I cannot stress enough to contact Barton Morris at 248-541-2600, 248-541-2600, or go online to cannabislegalgroup.com. There's plenty of information that will direct you on how to contact the attorneys and Mr. Morris at cannabislegalgroup.com. So I can't stress that enough. And this is going to be on podcast. Bart, we only have a few minutes left here. I want to, if we can just real briefly, I always get calls on from growers, caregivers, legal caregivers about the overages. What do they do with the overages? I mean, the law did not speak of that issue.
Well, listen, the law as it states right now is allowing caregivers to grow medicine for their patients. And that's all that is allowable. The law doesn't allow overages. So anything that is over and above what is permissible under the Act is simply not protected. And so people and caregivers need to have that understanding.
Yeah, please comply with the law. We're not suggesting anything otherwise. I mean, I want everyone to comply out there. Don't break the law.
Right. And that's primarily what we have to tell people. We have to advise them to follow the law.
Just
the law
read it.
Is that you can only grow as much as you need for your patient. And that should be the primary concern and primary objective is not grow enough to have overages in order to sell them to a dispensary. Because that's what people are doing. And, you know, if they're going to do it, then they're going to have to do so at their own risk. We do not recommend that. But we also know that people do it, and we help them try to navigate through that circumstance as well. But the bottom line is to just grow as much as you need.
Yeah, great advice, Bart. Hey, again, listen, I cannot thank you enough. Attorney Barton Morris Jr., my former law partner, one of my best friends, founder of CannabisLegalGroup.com, CannabisLegalGroup.com, coming to Mount Pleasant in September with a big conference and seminar. Bart,
huge
conference. And obviously, you're invited back on the show throughout the entire summer and fall and in the future all the time. So you'll be back on here in the next 2 to 3, 4 weeks. And anything else you'd like to say before we sign off here, Bart?
Thank you for allowing me to broadcast with you again. It's always fun.
Yeah, Bart and I used to have a cable show together, and we used to appear on 97.1 FM, Detroit's FM talk station, years ago together as well. So Bart and I have been involved 93.1 WDRQ, that's right, when Jay
that's
Towers
right.
was on. Bart and I did all kinds of media together, and I learned a lot from you, Bart. You gave me a compliment earlier, but I've learned so much from you, and that's what friends are for. And Bart is definitely an attorney for the people, literally for the people, a great trial attorney, CannabisLegalGroup.com. Bart, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Nikki, what a great show.
Awesome show.
I mean, holy cow.
Yes, this was huge.
Yeah, so if you're just tuning in, that was attorney Barton Morris Jr. I can't say enough, CannabisLegalGroup.com. Be sure to check out the show on podcast. It's free, iTunes, Podbean, or SoundCloud. Bart will be back on, and we'll reschedule him. I know the listeners want to hear more from him because he's got a lot more to say. Check him out, CannabisLegalGroup.com. I am yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt, and you are?
Nikki Morset.
And be happy, be enthusiastic. Hug someone with permission.
With permission.
Tell them you love them. Be sure to tip the wait staff. I always wanted to say that. And tune in. Always tune in to 98.5 UPS.
Yes.
And we'll be back next week, same place, same time.
That's right.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show. I'm not just a litigator.
You're an advocator.
Take us out.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show is brought to you by Chad Melly Well Drilling in Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes in Mount Pleasant, Harrison Power Sports, and the Sour Apple Smoke Shop in Mount Pleasant, the best damn smoke shop around.